Hello there,
Eric Francis back with you on a cool, cloudy Sunday afternoon here in Kingston, New York. I've taken my time getting started today, and I do have a couple of astrology afterthoughts for you, and then I will take a look at some tarot cards to get another take on the story. So the afterthought involves the presence of planets in Leo. That's a big thing for a good part of the rest of the year. And I think it's going to be influential for you. It is encrypted into your solar return chart in the form of Jupiter, which is the planet that rules your seventh house, your relationship house, being in Leo, and this is your third house. So now, if you follow my logic, planets represent things from different parts of the charts other than where they actually are. So, for example, we have Jupiter in Leo right now, and Leo is your third house by whatever method you choose, starting from Gemini, then we wind up in the third place with Leo, and the third is about brotherly love, it is about neighborly love, and it is about communication and a form of self-expression that is a bit leaning more toward the verbal and conceptual self-expression, but you have Leo on that house, and so it verges into the realm of more exciting creativity and art. And if you recall from the last somewhat charged up discussion at the end of part two, your relationship house itself, which is Sag, has Saturn in it, and Saturn is putting a kind of investigate this, slow down, check this out, what's going on, do you want this method of relating, is this the right method of relating, spin on your seventh house. Some might experience this as a kind of a block, some might experience it as a radical change in relationship status. It is more likely to represent a reevaluation of certain particular partnerships and also the whole concept of partnership. And I would say that one of the things that this signifies is looking for an alternative viewpoint to conventional romance. Now, I say this recognizing that the romance model that we have for how to have a relationship seems to be the only model that there is. I assure you that it's not. I don't care if your girlfriend or boyfriend or mother or whoever hasn't heard of anything else, but there are a lot of ways to relate to people in a loving way, in a creative way, in a sexual way, in a committed way that are not about the conventional model of, meet someone, go on three dates, they become your girlfriend or boyfriend. The relationship is not necessarily oriented on marriage, but who knows, you might win that particular lottery with this relationship. The person might be the one. And even though it's not necessarily going to be marriage, just because the person might be the one, there's the expectation of monogamy, but the conversation is rarely had. Oh, what's the right way for us to relate? It's just assumed that kind of relationship. The one that's based on assumptions. And the one where those assumptions tend to all lean in the direction of a certain set of rules, where that set of rules involves unspoken exclusivity. Now, Saturn's there. Saturn's prompting a reevaluation of that and all relationships of that model. Indeed, all forms of partnership are going to come up for reevaluation with Saturn going across your seventh house till late 2017. And then it will be going across your eighth house, which is very similar to the seventh house. So you're now in a phase of kind of renovating your relationship model. By the way, between approximately, let's say, 1995 and 2008, which now is quite a while ago, Pluto was moving across your seventh house. And that was a long, interesting reevaluation of relationships and understanding the influence and the impact that relationships had on you. Now imagine that, and now, you know, you've had a while with Pluto not in Sagittarius, Pluto in Capricorn, a real shift of concept and color there. And now it's time to rethink things again with Saturn. Now, by the way, with a Pluto in the eighth, the question of power dynamics is very much a real question. And I would say that where there is a question of power dynamics, always analyzed first where sex and money are influencing power dynamics. Because typically, those are the root of the setup for the exchange of power, for the basic politics of a relationship. And so between Pluto in the eighth and Saturn in the seventh, there is a question being asked. And it's an extended question, and it's a real question. It's the kind of question that is impossible to ignore. What is the nature of this underlying political reality in your relationships? Here's where it is pointing, though. If we look at the planet that's actually associated with Sagittarius, your opposite sign, your relationship sign, that's Jupiter. It's not Saturn. Saturn's visiting your seventh. Jupiter, wherever it may be, is associated with your seventh. And that tells you more about where to find the kind of partnership, the kind of question, the kind of experience, the kind of person that you might be interested in. But more to the point, it describes the style of relationship that is most likely to work for you at this time. And we find Jupiter in Leo. We find that, as ever, in your third house. This is counting for Gemini Sun, or Gemini Rising, or Gemini Moon. Third house is Leo. And this is saying, keep it lighter. Stop making those assumptions if you can, and look for what the relationship actually is. Look for the friendly basis, the foundation of the relationship that is not so much based on expectation, but is actually based on interrelation, actually based on an experience of communication. Now, Jupiter has been there for a while. It's going to be there for a while longer. And before it's done leaving Leo, there is going to be a Venus-Jupiter conjunction. And for much of the middle of 2015, there's going to be an extended phase of Leo having as one of its guests the planet Venus. And so there is a lot to explore in this, what now is becoming a kind of alternate house of relationships for you. It's no longer that you find relationships exclusively in the seventh house, or that you find them exclusively exclusive. There is a friendlier, lighter touch, lighter hearted, more flexible concept of relationships, but that is also passionate and expressive. Now, speaking of passion and expression, the last thing I'll mention about all of this activity in Leo is that it is saying, express yourself. I'm about to record a thing for the Mercury retrograde reading, the last part promised, called The Writing Crisis. So when I say that this is a great time to express yourself, I say that knowing that there is a personal expression crisis, even though it seems like that's what everyone is doing. There are some issues around that now. One of them is consistency. One of them is depth. One of them is commitment and stability and dedication, holding the signal, the project, and not being distracted by this astonishingly complicated world of distractions that we live in. I mean, it's amazing it's possible to get anything done on a computer. You know, these things used to be typewriters. Typewriters didn't have iTunes on them, and you couldn't stop and watch YouTube for 20 minutes. You had to get all of your creative interaction with the typewriter itself. And now they do 1,000 things and talk to people in, you know, Timbuktu. It's amazing anything gets done. And so when I say express yourself, I mean hang with the project. Hang in there. Devote yourself to something daily, every day. I was over at Half Moon Books, one of my neighbors and collaborators, and picked up an extra copy of The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. I did that specifically because I buy used books to be able to give them away. And if you were sitting here, I would give you a copy of The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And since you're not sitting here, I would say go on the internet, pick up a copy for a buck, and do that project. Get involved in the daily morning writing and some of the creative exercises that she proposes. You have a lot of creativity to mine and explore, but the caveat is this does not need to be subject to inspiration, and it does need to be subject to discipline. So there's an application of a professional level of approach to any form of self-expression work, which means, I'll repeat it again, subtracting the inspiration factor and adding the discipline factor. Typically, we work on the basis of inspiration. Oh, I feel inspired to do that. And we leave out the discipline factor. Oh, I didn't finish. I no longer felt inspired. Cameron, in her brilliance, says, fuck inspiration. Make sure you're inspired all the time, or better yet, don't worry about inspiration at all. Just do what you have to do. And what you do then is you build a structure. That structure can exist in time, it can exist in a notebook, it can exist in a routine that you follow for a while and get to understand yourself through a process of writing that is dedicated and devoted 7 days a week on a daily basis. And yes, if you have a guest, you'll have to take a minute in the morning and do your morning pages or do them as soon as possible once you're up and going out of bed. Yes, it's polite to have someone sit and stare off into space or people watch for 15 minutes while you scribble in your notebook if you're at a cafe or at a diner, wherever you happen to go in the morning, or sitting at the breakfast table, and do this for yourself. There is a lot that can come from it. And if we follow the metaphor of Leo in the third house, there is gold in them there hills of writing and of getting your creativity flowing, not needing that momentary little surge of inspiration. Oh, what a great idea. Learn to have that be your natural, normal state, not something that just kind of gets periodically stimulated and then forgotten about. And this, by the way, is a thing to bring to your relationships, to bring that sense of devotion to communication to your relationships. The Venus retrograde is going to bring a lot of people from the past into our lives and be fun to correspond with them and communicate with them and try not to fall for the thing where somebody gets annoyed with you for communicating with a former flame, because that's exactly what I'm hinting at with this whole conventional romantic model being so outmoded as to be useless. We really do need to be able to maintain communication with the people who've been in our lives before if we want to, and maintain friendships. And I think to maintain the possibility of friendships that have some sexual charge to them, that have some energy, where the concept is not pretended to be off the table, where there's not just this you know, little game that we play that it's off the table, it never really is, but we play that game so that we're not treading on people's insecurities. But the kind of problem with that is that it takes away a lot of our potential and uses relationship as a way to shut down rather than as a way to open up. And the key here is to stay open. And part of this, as you'll see, as the summer and autumn progress, is about staying in touch with people who appear mysteriously out of nowhere from the mists of time. They will reemerge in body form, or perhaps only in digital form, and will have interesting things to say to you, as will you to them. All right, shuffling up my wandless tarot deck here. It's a double deck, so the cards can appear twice. They rarely do, occasionally do, but it's fun to have the ability for cards to appear twice so they can, you know, say things. It's kind of weird when they you pull two cards in a row and you have pulled the same basic archetype out of the deck, same exact card, against the odds. Tarot is a system of 78 symbols. It contains all of the basic fundamental human postures in life. It's kind of like the yoga book of life, and there are 78 postures. They're divided into five groups, four suits, and the major arcana. And it's a very handy tool to have. I'm shuffling here. It's like shuffling 150 cards. So good few cards. Thump, thump, cut in three. And let's see what's going on. I'm going to use the Celtic Wings spread. I tend to read the cards only upright, although I have that exception I've mentioned a few times. If they really seem to be stuck to the table in the inverted position, I will flip them over. Rather, will not flip them over, because having respect for the fact that they're really seem like they belong there. But I'm prefer to read cards upright. But there is a place and a time for everything in divination. And let's see what these cards have to say, and what they have to say about the work that we've done previously. Because part of why I do this is to get a second viewpoint on what we've done. Okay, so I turn over a card four first. It's the What Do You Want card. I think in the old-timey spread, they said, the little rhyme was, this is what crowns you and could come into being. And I say, what do you want? And we get art. We get the Sagittarius card. We get Trump 14, Temperance, which has been revised a couple of times along the way, first by Crowley, and then Wanless took Crowley's concept for this card and called it art. And let's leave that there. Card one, Fulfillment, Nine of Cups, a very happy card. The card of Make-A-Wish. So this is the card of what do you desire? Choose that, and it would appear that what you desire is art. Now, the Temperance card, the art card, is not strictly, you know, about the pencil and paper kind of art, sketching or making collages or what have you. It's also about the alchemy of existence, the alchemy of relationships, creative partnership. It is about recognizing that little bit of yourself in everyone and everything, and correlating with the universe in a way that is exciting to you, where every moment leads you to some new discovery, where there's something, you know, living in a creative way. I mean, we talk about this, but it's not quite done so often. And where that living in the creative way is done is in decisions, and it's done in collaboration with others. And when that collaboration is not there, or when others are being boring and don't want to try anything new, the alchemy then is taken within to yourself, and you do that creative thing on your own until there's other creative people around to explore and experience and share with. Okay, the official second card, the basis of the question, the route into the past, fear. So it really would look like you are sizing up your reality as a way of living beyond fear, and also you are still close enough to the whole scenario to recognize that this is what is possible, this is what can happen, that you're not really free of fear until you're free of fear, and it's good to remember when you were kind of trapped in it, when it was more difficult, when it was more nerve-wracking, and maybe you were a bit more panicky, but it doesn't look like that now, because it looks like you're setting some very different goals. Okay, next card, strength or lust, depending on what version of the deck you have. This is the card associated with Leo. It's Trump 11 in some decks, Trump 8 in some decks, and it has a lion in it, and lots of other things of color and beauty and a pillar and another lion, lions all over this card. That's the beauty of collage. And this is saying that you have some momentum, that at some point it looks like not so far away, you made a decision to change your polarity, to change your orientation from a fear-based orientation to a happiness-based orientation, or who knows, it might have just happened. You might have just woken up one day and said, "Wow, I feel better. Let's see now what comes next." Okay, the card is success. It's the Ace of Worlds. The worlds kind of correspond, kind of a fiery pentacle suit is how I think of them. Wandless redoes the suits. He scrambles them up so that you have to think about each card, but the ace is the root of the powers of something, and here we have the root of the power of calling, of success. Lots of planets on this. There's the sun, there's Jupiter, there's the earth, there's Saturn, there's Uranus, though it's kind of yellowish, not greenish. The earth's moon is there. It's a lovely card, and this is saying that all of this rethinking is leading you to a real point of beginning where you can actually orient on a kind of spectacular goal of some kind. So keep that goal in mind. Okay, what you are resisting. This used to be, this is your negative feelings, and I just rewrote that script to resistance. And the card that that is appeared there is called Equilibrium. It's the Two of Cups. Most decks call that love. And it would fit this theme of the special relationship is not the only kind of relationship. There's other kinds of relationship that don't involve saying, "You are that special someone. No one else is. Go to hell, everyone else." Rather, there's something here that's more open, more embracing, more celebrating of freedom, and of choosing not to depend, to over-focus exclusively on this one type of relationship. All right. Now, there's two cards here that represent relationships, or represent the environment as well, and I'll read them together. The Hierophant has come up twice. in this, I've never seen that happen. So when I modified this spread in the winter of 1995, when I was working for the Jackie Stallone Psychic Circle, and I needed a nice, sleek spread to use so I could get right to the point very quickly with people on the phone and kind of cut the fat out of the spread, but also make sure that it was able to, conduct depth, right? I added a second position for the relationship position. There's only one in the Celtic cross. It just seems like not that many. So here's two, twice as many. And in this spread, they've both come up the Hierophant. This is rather humorous. Again, I've never seen anything like this because they are the positions are basically twin positions that I use to bounce the meaning of the cards off of each other to come up with something original. That's the way you read cards. You don't just read what that one card means or what that one card means in that position. Rather, you take the card and the position and then the cards around it, and you kind of bounce them all off each other, and you get something that no one's ever heard before. And in this case, we have the Hierophant in the position of relationships. And the Hierophant is saying a number of things. First of all, I always take the Hierophant card as a card that first and foremost says, slow down and pay attention. Second, I take it as a sincere approach to a real question. And in the traditional versions of this card, the older version, there's a lot of variance in the way this card is depicted. But in some of the more common ones, you have two monks who both made it into the presence of the Pope or the Hierophant. The Hierophant's the more pre-Christian model, and the Pope is the more Christian model. Same basic concept in sort of the structure of things. And one of the monks has roses on his vestment, and the other monk has lilies on his vestment. And therein lies one of the main clues to what this card is about, which is that whatever path you choose, whether you choose the left-handed path of Tantra or the right-handed path of Tantra, whether you choose the path of passion or the path of purity, you still get to the same place. And now that message is blazing out here from this spread, and the overarching theme of that is saying that you have options for how you approach things, for how you approach people, for how you approach the concept of relationship without having to follow a prescription. Now, some would say, but the Hierophant, that's all about tradition. And I would say, yes, that's true. But when you look closely at that tradition, the tradition is saying that there are many ways to get to the same place. Go the way that's right for you. Let your life be an experiment. Worry less about the destination because you will get there. And concentrate more on what it is you're feeling and expressing what it is that you're feeling with others. And one last implication, I think, which is to choose people who are experiencing a calling that you recognize. I won't say a similar calling, because callings can be very different and have a lot in common. They can be very similar and have less in common, but rather people whose calling you recognize that you can get with, because you're both or all travelers on the path. All right, last card, I do a check your work card. That's the lowest card in the spread, and that card is the Eight of Wands. That is the card also said to be harmony. This is in Wandless's version. It's also the card of, it's your basic card of A-OK. Things are groovy. You're on the way. There is clear sailing. I forgot the official last card of the spread. That's the upper right card, Regenerator, Sage of Cups. So let's take that with harmony together. The message of Sage of Cups is of fostering growth and new growth where previously there was not, or where the season has finally warmed up again, which it tends to do around your birthday, and bringing new life back into your activities and desires and experiences. And I would remind you that those are very much about you in the first instance, and about others and your relationship to them in the second instance. And we end with the Eight of Wands. It really doesn't get better than that in the language of the tarot. Okay, so if you are listening to this prior to the what I'm now going to call the Gemini workshop, which I'll probably schedule for the week after this week. Let's just check the Macintosh calendar. Today's the 31st of May. I'm thinking like the 11th or Tuesday the 16th before the sun has left your sign. We'll do that. I'm available at EFC at ericfrancis.com. Easy to reach. If you don't hear back from me, just please either be patient for a moment or send it again with a nice clear subject header, EFC at ericfrancis.com. I'm going to include with this reading the Gemini Mercury retrograde reading, just because there's some interesting information in there, and a lot of the early research that I did for the sign Gemini this year, I did with the Mercury retrograde reading. I'm going to include that. What I do also suggest is you check out Cosmophilia for Gemini. That's the annual edition. This is a whole other reading. There is a lot of material there. More than an hour of audio and 4,500-ish words of written stuff. It's a whole other, it's actually really three other readings, and it's all different stuff than this. Though I have to say, this is a pretty comprehensive discussion that's come out of these charts and out of these cards today, but there is always more. So should you be looking for context or background, that is where to find it. All right, thanks for tuning in to the work that I do. Thanks for being part of Planet Waves. Your core community membership is very important. It keeps this organization running throughout the year, so please do sign up for that. And once again, I leave you in the delightful landscape, the acoustic landscape of 23 degrees, the endless searching for substance. And until next time, bye for now.